help us thirst after your righteousness. Lord, hear us. And kill our flesh from fleshly desires. If you have just tuned, this is Sweet Melodies 94.3, and this is Generation 419 with me, Reverend Dr. EK. Good morning to all my listeners. Good morning to all young people listening to me. Good morning to all of you who tune in Saturday after Saturday. This is another beautiful Saturday morning. Charlie Nassin, it looks like my America voice has been coming. I traveled a bit, you know. God's love will never go away. I had to cry that day. Lord, 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 Lord. Kill my flesh, oh Lord. Break my desire, Jesus. Kill our flesh and break our desires. After your right. Help us to test after your righteousness. We don't want to be the same again. It's an opportunity for you to join us once again to learn the word of God and also to have fun. Wherever you are, if you can listen to me, if you are listening to me, this show, this program is strictly for young people. Call your children, call other children, call your cousins, your nieces, your nephews, and anyone you think is a young person who can listen and have his life changed. Galatians 5:14 says that, my little children in whom I travel again in birth unto Christ be formed in you. Like I say every Saturday, it's our desire that Christ to be formed in the lives of our young people. That we are not going to be the same again. We are going to have our lives changed as young people. And I believe that you have seen your Bible, your pen, and your notebook. To some of you, the discussions we have every Saturday, it's actually a church service for you. Because Sundays, you don't go to church. You don't. If your mother says she's not going, you are not going. But I think that it's an opportunity for you actually to have another dosage of the word of God. And when we come your way this every Saturday, I think that you should make a very good use of it and join and participate. I used to walk, talk, look just like you. And still, my campaign hasn't changed. I'm on a campaign to make sure that every young person has a Bible. Listen, if you're a parent listening to me and your child doesn't have a Bible, I think that the problem is coming from you. Taking away from you to distraction, I was true. Yeah, without apology, the problem is coming from you. Ooh. If you can buy your child a math set, if you can buy your child drawing board, do they still use drawing board? Yeah, guys, do you still use drawing board? Eh? Yes. You use drawing board?
Yes.
What are some of the things you send to school? Sometimes when I see you guys going to school, I feel that you are tired already. Eh? What are some of the things you send to school? Tell me.
Drawing board. Set square.
Set square.
T square.
Hey. You all these things you send them to school.
Yes.
A school bag. Sometimes your school bag, it looks like some tourist who is traveling to Mexico. You will not come back. So dear parents, I'm still campaigning, and still I'm here. I'm looking for anyone who can sponsor us Bibles. Like, you can connect me to anyone who has Bible. Every child must have a Bible. Otherwise, what we are talking about, the children should read their Bibles and all that. I mean, it will just not work. And if you're a pastor listening to me, if you are, I'm not even talking about children's pastors. If you are a senior pastor listening to me, one of the things you must insist on in your church is that during Kojemo, adoring, naming ceremony or christening or whatever we call it. And when the family come to church on Sunday to do dedication or to thank God, please insist that they must bring a Bible for the child, the newborn baby. They should be able to buy the Bible at that stage. Otherwise, if the child grows a bit, don't buy again. But I'm not sure we are asking for too much. I don't think I'm asking for too much. Well, some of you can buy pizza. You buy very expensive things for your children. You can buy anything except Bible. But the Bible doesn't look like an urgent need. I mean, it's not so urgent. Sunday, I mean, what else? Father doesn't have a Bible. Children don't have Bible. As for the mother, I can understand. She has some engagement Bible over there. The words are very, very small. Jesus. She herself, she has not read that Bible before. Please, the children must have Bibles. The children must have Bibles. Jesus. Bibles, pen, and notebooks. So that they can send them to church on Sundays. So that they can read their Bibles every day. Every day. Because we've been talking about quiet time, the fact that children must have their quiet time every day and all that. If they don't have Bible, they cannot have their quiet time. If there is a place you want to invest, I believe a fertile place to invest, a good place to invest, is to invest in the spirituality of your children. Yes, education is good. But the guy who said education is the key to success last week, he apologized to us. Education is not entirely the key to success. If you doubt me, read Joshua 1:8. All right, so I would like my guests to introduce themselves this morning, and then we will go straight into the Word of God. Guys, you are welcome. Thank you. Oh, I'm welcoming you. You know my name. Oh, as I was talking about the Bible, you don't like the story.
<Something there.
laughs> How are you?
We're fine, thank you.
All right, so tell us who you are and where you are calling from. Let me start with you.
My name is Precious Nasima Susie. And I'm calling from...
You are calling from... You are here with me. Where are you calling from? You are coming from where?
I'm coming from KOCC, Dakuman branch.
What is KOCC?
Kodesh City Church.
Kodesh City Church. Yes. Dakuma.
Yes.
Branch. Dakuma. Dakuma here.
Yes.
Okay. Which part of Dakuma?
Dakuma Nyamiche.
Nyamiche.
Please, yes.
Nyamiche Junction.
Please, yes.
There's some beer baby by your church. Or super bet rather.
Yes.
Is it super bet or both super bet and beer bar?
Both super bet and beer bar.
I see. Charlie, most churches have super bet and beer bar by them. But those people, they don't come to church. So, if you're having service, do they play their songs?
Yes, they've been playing their songs. But
and it disturbs you?
Or we went there to concentrate on what you are going to do.
So your church is an air-conditioned church. Charlie, by me, my church is air-conditioned. I'm telling you, my church is air-conditioned.
Wow.
Hey, air-conditioned. AC, fully nyanya. Yes.
My name is Bonnie Ado.
Bonnie Ado. Bonny Addo.
Yeah, and I'm from the QCC.
You're also from QCC.
The Akuman branch.
How old are you, Bonny?
13 years old.
13 years old. And you want to become what in future?
An engineer.
What type of engineer? We have electrical engineer, we have mechanical engineer. I mean, a lot of...
Yeah, I want to be the mechanical engineer.
Mechanical engineer. When I look at your hairstyle, yeah, I'm a fatal. Pressure, what do you want to be in future?
A journalist.
Yeah! That girl again, 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 again. Anna's daughter. Investigative journalist.
Yes.
Yeah, okay. I set out to become a journalist, but it didn't work out. But I thank God I didn't become a journalist. I'm not saying that because journalists are bad, though. I'm just saying that at a point, the desire left me. But here I am sitting by a console trying to, I'm in the radio station, so I'm a journalist by default. Yes. Actually, you see, this is what happened. I bought a form, I applied, I had admission. Then somebody said, no, she won't allow me to go. My mother said, she won't allow me to do journalism. So I believe that you have your Bible, your pen, and your notebook. Today, what are we talking about? The parable of the test.
Yes.
Parable of the test. You are at home, you don't know what parable of the test is. So don't change it to another place. Same. So this is where they are talking too much. We are trying to save your soul. Free. Even you are there with your father. Your father says, change that. People are talking about Bible too much. Change it. Fire. Change it to Shatawale. Change it to Stone Boy. You deliver me and make me on again, Lord. The parable of the test. The parable of the test. So, straight, let's go into the Bible. Let's go into the Bible before we forget what we are here to do. The parable of the test. Where can we find this?
Matthew 13, chapter 24.
Matthew chapter 13 and verse 24. Okay, so if you are home, please open your Bibles. Matthew chapter 13, verse 24. Where is my iPad? Okay. Let me open there. Matthew 13, verse 24. Okay. Who is reading for us? Verse 24. Which version are you reading?
Youth Bible.
Say again?
Youth Bible.
There's a Bible called Youth Bible.
Yes.
Bible no sisi anu mundo so. Youth Bible. Okay. So I have with me NLT, and it says that the parable of the wheat and weeds.
Yes.
What's the topic there?
The parable of the wheat among the weeds.
The wheat
among the weeds.
Weeds. Okay. Yes. So wheats and weeds.
Yes.
Okay. Have you eaten wheat before? Wheat jollof. It's nice, rough. Hey! It's very nice. Wheat is very nice. Very, 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 very nice. Okay, so let's go. Because when I said the parable of the test, people are thinking it's a car. Like, we are going to talk about types of cars. No. So, parable of wheat and wheats. Or wheat among
the wheats.
The wheats. All right, so let's go. Odi, call, read.
So, Jesus told them the story. The kingdom of heaven is like what happened when a farmer scattered good seed in a field. But while everyone was sleeping, an enemy came and scattered wheat seeds in the field and then left. When the plants came up and began to ripen, the farmer's servants could see the wheats. Verse 27, the servants came and asked, "Sir, didn't you scatter good seeds in your field? Where did these wheats come from?" "An enemy did this," he replied. His servant then asked, "Do you want us to go out and pull up the weeds?" "No," he answered. "You might also pull up the weeds. Leave the weeds alone until harvest time. Then I'll tell my workers to gather the weeds and tie them up in my barn. But I'll order them to store the weeds in and burn them."
So that's verse 29.
Yes.
Okay, so the parable of the wheat and weeds can be found in Matthew chapter 13, verse 24 yes. to 29.
Yes.
Okay, so if you are home, and like I said, this season we are talking about parables, the parables of Jesus, because I noticed that a lot of us go to church. We don't really pay attention to what we are being taught. Okay, and these parables, they are basic things that we need to know as young people. When we mention a particular parable, you should be able to tell us where the parable can be found. Obviously, Jesus said the parable, who he said it to, where he said it to. You should be able to explain the parable, and you should be able to tell us the meaning of the parable. Okay, so I'm sure that is what we are here to do. Bonnie, this particular parable, where did Jesus tell this parable?
He told it in his household.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so.
And he told it to his disciples.
His disciples. Is it verse 1? Verse 1. 13 verse 1. So he said that later that same day, Jesus left the house and sat beside the lake. A large crowd gathered around him. So he got into a boat. Then he sat there and taught. As the people stood on the shore. All right. So in verse 13, he said a number of parables. All right. It was in verse 13 that he spoke about the parable of the sower. Do you understand? And so when that parable ended, then I think that he continued with the parable of the wheat and weeds. Okay. So he told this parable to a large crowd of people who came there. Listening to him, I think
at the shore.
I think in those days people used to gather to hear Jesus speak.
Yes.
Yeah. People were not forced to go to church those days, but in our modern time, people go. So in a nutshell, now I want you to explain this parable in your own way. What we just read, summarize it in your own words for us.
So, when you read verse 36.
Okay. No. I'm not saying the meaning of the parable. Like literally what we just read. Say it. What does it mean?
So.
Mm-hmm.
The one who scattered the good seed.
No. You are going too far. I'm just trying to say that the parable. Jesus said the parable. He said that the kingdom of heaven is like a farmer who planted good seed in his field. At night he went to sleep. I want you to summarize the passage for us. We haven't gotten into the meaning of the passage yet.
Okay.
So your horse should not be in hurry.
The kingdom of heaven is what happened when a farmer scattered good seed.
Okay.
And while he was asleep,
okay.
An enemy came and scattered wheat.
Wheat, okay.
Wheat in the good seed, which is the wheat.
Okay.
So the farmer told his servants. His servant was looking at the wheat and he saw that someone has planted wheat among the wheat.
Okay.
Then he went to his master and asked, "Master, please, why didn't you grow good wheat?" Then he said, "It's an enemy who came to do this."
Mm.
So he decided to uproot the wheat from the wheat,
okay.
The good seed, the bad seed from the good seed. But his master didn't allow him. He told him to wait till harvest time. Then when it's harvest time, he should gather the wheat, the good seeds in his barn. And then the wheat, which is the bad seed, he should gather them and burn them. Yes.
Bonnie, tell us something. How do you understand this? How can you summarize this passage to us?
This passage is about a sower who went to sow wheat.
A sower. A modern day sower will be who?
A farmer,
yeah. But I know you all do integrated science.
Please, yes.
So this one shouldn't be a problem.
Yes.
This is our field. all right.
And at night, as the servants were asleep, an enemy came to plant wheat among the wheat.
Okay.
And that on the next day, the servants saw this and went to report to the master.
Okay.
Having thou sowed good seeds.
Right now, you are speaking King James English. Having thou sowed good.
And the man replied to his servants that his enemies have done this.
Okay.
So the servants wanted to uproot the wheat, But he stopped them, saying that uprooting the weeds, you might accidentally uproot some of the good seeds.
Okay.
So we should wait till harvest time. Then we will know which one is good and which one is bad.
Wow. So you at home, I also want you to think about this parable carefully and then look for a way to understand it, and then we'll be back and then we shall go deeper and try to find the meaning to this particular parable. I'll be right back. I want your flesh to be killed, pal. the flesh to send us to hell. So welcome back. This is Generation 419 right here on Sweet Melodies 94.3 with me, Reverend Dr. Ike. We'll be talking about the parable of the wheat and the weeds. Child, this one, you have to take your time to pronounce the thing well. The parable of the wheat and the weeds. And I have the children from the Kodesh City Church. Dakuman. Nyamiche Dakuman. So if you know where their church is, tomorrow is Sunday. You can join them in church. So we read about the story of the wheat and the weeds. So let's look at what this parable means. What does it mean? Because you see, when people read these parables like this, they feel that, I have read the Bible. And I think that's what most young people do. If you read it, you don't even try to look into the passage you have read to find out how it applies to your life. So we just end it over there, and it doesn't make any impact in our lives. But this morning, we want to use this opportunity to find out what this particular parable mean and how it applies to our lives. Okay. So, what can we say these good seeds were and these bad seeds? Now.
So the good seeds can be said as the Son of God of man, yes.
No, the good seed cannot be the Son of Man. The person who sowed the seed rather can be the Son of Man.
So the good seeds are the people of the kingdom.
The people of the kingdom.
Which are the true Christians.
Okay. Then the bad seeds are...
The bad seeds are those of the devil, the followers of evil.
Okay. So we have bad people and we have good people.
Yes.
I think we have to establish that. There are bad boys, bad girls. And then we also have good boys and good girls. All right. So a group of children or a group of young people who are, let's say, they are good, then suddenly we realize that, some bad people have mixed them up. Do you understand? Uh-huh. So that's the discussion we are having this morning. So, Bonnie, what did you say? Say it again so that those home can really understand what you meant.
I said before that the good seeds are the people of the kingdom, which are the true Christians.
Mm.
The bad seeds are the followers of the devil.
Okay.
The evil ones.
The evil ones. And the pastor said that the farmer went to the field to sow.
Yes.
The field.
The field is this world. Is the world we are in.
The field is the farm.
Yes.
So all of us here on earth, we are a type of seed, a type of plant. Whether we are how do you call it? We are wheat or
wheat.
So we have to find out who you are.
Yes.
Whether you are a wheat or you are a wheat. So you are at home this morning, we are asking you, are you a wheat or you are a wheat? You have to find out who you are. Because you are saying the world
is the field.
Is the field where we find ourselves. And then the human beings
are the seeds.
The human beings are
the seeds.
The seeds. Wow. Now, why did the master tell the servant not to uproot the bad seeds, okay, from the good ones? But then they both should grow together. What's the reason behind that?
Because if he allowed his servant to uproot the good seeds,
all right,
it may also affect the good ones.
The good ones.
Yes. So he wanted him to wait till harvest time so that they'll be able to differentiate between the good seeds and the bad seeds.
Okay.
Yes.
But aside that, okay, aside that, I also think that the wheat, they almost look like the wheat.
Yes.
They look alike.
Yes.
So they may not be able to know which ones they are uprooting.
Yes.
Okay. So as we are all growing together as young people, we look alike, but we don't know how we are going to turn out to be. Who was this enemy? Who was this enemy?
This because enemy was
at a point he told the people that an enemy had done this.
Yes.
Who was that enemy?
That enemy was the devil.
Mm-hmm.
The devil came to sow wheat among the wheat that the sower sowed in his field.
Okay. What role does the devil play in the lives of young people? As in, when it comes to sowing of seeds, because if we are either a wheat or a weed, okay, and he says that an enemy did this, and it's the enemy who came to, because it's a son of God who came to sow the good seeds.
Yes,
the devil came to sow
bad seeds.
Bad seeds, which are the wheat.
Yes.
So the good seeds happen to be the wheat.
Yes.
They will grow up to become wheat.
Yes.
Then the bad seeds will grow to become wheat. Okay.
Yes.
Beautiful. Now, the devil came to sow bad seeds. Do you understand?
Yes.
Beautiful. In our lives now, how does the devil sow bad seeds in our lives as young people? What does he do? What are some of the things the devil make us do to become bad children?
Like causing us to sin.
To sin, yeah.
Yes. For example, maybe God willing, tomorrow is Sunday and I have to go to church.
Okay.
But it's like as I'm there, I feel like today, like that Sunday, I'm not going to go.
Yeah.
I'll not go.
It's not necessary. Church is not necessary at this point.
Mm-hmm. So that's some of the things that
So if you try to say that you are not going to go, it means maybe you are listening to what the devil is saying.
Telling you.
But yes, anxiety, maybe, oh my breath, I'm tired, I'm not going to go. Mm. But you are not supposed to do that. As soon as you are doing this, it's maybe something like the devil is the one teaching you
causing
the way.
You to do that.
Yes.
Bonnie, what are some of the things the devil do to us as young people? I want you to be as practical as possible. Yes, because a lot of the bad things we do, truthfully, is the devil that makes us do that. Yes.
And the devil makes us do bad things by using our friends to convince us.
Mm.
Since young people, we are really close to our friends more than our parents.
Okay.
So the devil uses our friends to convince us to do many things.
Mm. Mm. Why do you... You see, because almost always on this program, I've heard young people explaining the fact that their friends have much influence in their lives. How is that possible?
This is because when we go to school, we spend most of our times with our friends. Okay. So we believe our friends more than everything.
I see. So you take your validation from your friends.
Yes.
Has there been a part that a friend tried to influence you?
Yes.
Either negatively or positively. Share something with us. Then after that, now also share something with us.
A friend tried to stop me from going to church by introducing me to this small program that we were going to do, our school was going to do.
A program?
Yes.
Where?
It was in the new Malcolm Mall that opened.
Okay.
And he tried to tell me not to go to church and to follow them to go to the mall, but something pulled me back, so I had to go to church. Because the mall,
it will be there always. You can pass there anytime.
I can
go
there anytime and go and buy anything.
Mm.
But the church, it's a once in a
Week. Church also you go. Uh-huh.
It's a once in a week time that you have to do it.
You get opportunity. But the impact church does, the impact a church has on your life, all right, it's something that when you miss it, you cannot easily get it back.
Yes.
Now, have you been influenced before? Tell us.
So, I had a program at Property TV that was supposed to go. It was singing. Mm. And my friends were like...
And it's on Sunday.
It's
on a Sunday.
Okay.
But why is that all these programs are Sunday? Now everything is Sunday. It's a way to steal our hearts and to change our focus.
So every Sunday I was supposed to go, and my friends were the people that told me.
No, come again. Every Sunday, the program is every Sunday.
Yes, every Sunday. I'm supposed to go every Sunday, and I'm.
Will it be good to share the type of program it is?
Yes, the one reality show, it's a singing contest.
Competition.
Yes. Oh, so I was supposed to go every Sunday. And
If you win, what would they give you? Car?
Yes, you get many things. And they'll give you someone to train. To train you.
So that you can cut an apple.
Yes. So it was my friends who were telling me to go.
They were telling that you have a good voice.
Yes, so I should go. They'll vote for
you.
And my mom too was saying that every Sunday I have to also go to church. So I wasn't like,
Charlie,
I listened to my friend. So
give me your mother's number. I'll tear her mumu. Because she has tried. She has tried, but okay.
So I stopped. I listened to my mom and stopped the program. So my friends were very disappointed in me, but I didn't even mind them. Because... this program, I can get the chance to go some again.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. So that's not the only time that I thought I would go.
Mm-hmm. So in effect, we are trying to say that, look, it's very important. If you are listening to us, you don't exchange anything for a Sunday service. Do you understand?
Like, yes.
If you get opportunity to be in church, okay, if you miss that opportunity, or if you replace that chance with something else, I cannot really guarantee what it will be. All right. And sometimes missing church once, twice, it looks like it's harmless. But then when it continues, at a point you lose interest in church entirely. And that's how come most young people don't go to church. Honestly, we have a lot of young people who don't go to church than adults. Most young people don't go to church. Most young people. I mean, your age bracket and all that. Most of you don't go to church. Do you understand? So, If the devil can get to sow a seed in your heart now to tell you that church is not important. Because if you don't go to church one Sunday, nothing will happen to you. Second Sunday, nothing will happen to you. 3 months, nothing happens to you. You are still living.
Yes.
That is how it is. The wheat and then the tares, they are all growing together. You all seem to be doing well in the class. You all seem to be going to school. Nothing happens to anybody. But in future, that is where we see the difference between those who serve God and those who don't serve Him. There's a scripture like that in Malachi. I think so. Let me look for it. Let me look for it. All right, I have found it. I found Malachi chapter 3, verse 18. Malachi 3, verse 18. It says that, then shall ye return and descend between the righteous and the wicked. All right, so the righteous and the wicked is now telling us about the wheat.
And the wheat.
And the wheat. Charlie, everywhere, this wheat and wheat, and they are there. Between them, between him that serveth God and him that serve him not. So there'll always be a difference. And sometimes you will not see the difference now. But when you grow up a bit, that's where you see that there is a great difference between young people who lived their lives, young people who served God when they were younger, okay, and then people who didn't serve God, young people who didn't serve God. All right. Now, what does the harvest symbolize? The harvest. And who are these harvesters also? The harvest. Because he said that when it's time for harvest, let's talk about the harvest. The harvest and the people who are doing the harvest, the laborers. Bonnie.
Actually, the harvest is for the end of the world, which is the end of age.
Mm.
And the harvesters are the angel of God who will come and take the good seeds out of the bad ones.
What you have just said have made me emotional. Yes. Precious, you want to add something? Listen. And to those of you at home, listen to me. You see, I don't know. But I think that the end of the world will actually happen. Okay. There are two places we are likely to find ourselves. Either you end up in hell, or you end up in heaven. And I think that this is the topic which is least discussed with children about heaven and hell. But amazingly, these are real places. Listen, you find yourself in one of these places, by all means. But whether you die as a young person or you live to how many years and you die. And anytime I get the chance to talk about heaven or hell, I tell young people that there is nothing like children's service hell. This is so that when you go inside that place, the fire is different and all that. Look, hell is hell. If you find yourself in hell, I have seen young people die before. Oh, yes. As a pastor of children, I can count about 5 to 6 children have buried before. Yes. Even last two Christmas, on Christmas Day. Yes. A child died. I mean, Christmas Day when people were eating chicken and things. I was standing in the cemetery to bury a church member. Do you understand? I think 13-year-old girl. I mean, she actually died. And then last year, Christmas, around Christmas, not really Christmas, but around Christmas, another church member went to swim somewhere, got drowned, a child also died. Do you understand? So as for death, it can happen to anyone. Do you understand? But the most important thing is, have you given your life to Christ? Because you see, as we are all together, and you see this parable, let's not look at it like, oh, it's the world in the church. There are two types of people in the church. Forget about the world. Those who don't come to church, forget about them. Just concentrate even in the church where we are. The church where you are. Do you understand? There are wheat and there are wheat. This afternoon, that is what we want to tell our friends who are listening to us. That there are wheat and then there are wheat. Which one are you? Because a day of harvest will surely come. Now, you want to say something? A day of harvest. Bonnie, a day of harvest will surely come. Do you understand? And I think that this particular parable should prepare our minds. If you are going to church as a young person, it shouldn't be that, oh, you are just going to church because your parents asked you to go to church. Or you are going there because... And most people, most young people be like, my father is a pastor. My father is a reverend. My father is a bishop. Look, your father's bishop, your father's reverend, your father's whatever, it's not a family property. No. You have to be that thing yourself. Okay. So I believe that this parable is one that will open our minds and it will help us greatly. Now, what will happen to the wheat during harvest? What will happen to the wheat? Now, what will happen to the wheat during harvest? Maybe let's go deeper.
The weeds. So, during harvest, mm-hmm. the wheat will be thrown into a burning furnace, which is hellfire. That's what I
can say. I'm asking you because I want you to say it. Otherwise, so it's Reverend Nike who is saying that, who is carrying us. He says that, so read what the master said. What the master told the servant when they said they wanted to go and uproot the wheat, and he said no during harvest.
Yes,
read what he said.
Verse 30. Leave the wheat alone until harvest time.
Okay.
And I'll tell my worker to gather the wheat and tie them up in my barn.
Read it slowly. We are reading like a comprehension passage.
Leave the wheat alone until until harvest time.
The young people who are attending church, who have not given their life to Christ, who are doing bad things, who are into super bed. We have children who are into super bed, who are watching pornography, who are stealing, who are disobeying their parents, who have not accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and personal savior, who are doing all those bad. Leave them alone. Tell it's scary. Have you stolen something that you were caught, but they have never said anything about it? You tried to steal something. Your mother have seen you, but she didn't say anything. And they have not beaten you up to today. They have never discussed. They have not called you to beat you about it. That is more scary than the one they will call you and beat you. Yes. So he said, leave them alone.
Then I'll tell my workers to gather the weeds.
The weeds.
And tie them. Up and bend them.
They will tie you up and then they will bend. Look, when he said they will bend them, let's not think far. If they are bending you, it's fire.
Yes.
Hell is also fire. Maybe you'll be saying that, have you been to hell before? I've not been to hell before. But I seriously believe the Bible. Do you understand? I believe the story of the rich man and Lazarus. That the rich man went to hell and he was in fire. That scripture, I believe it. That passage, I really believe it with all my heart. Do you understand? So it tells you that children can also find themselves there. Children. Because usually nobody says this thing to children. What we are reading now, nobody says it to children. You can be in the children's church and you never hear this thing I'm explaining. Nobody will even mention heaven or hell. Anything close to heaven or hell will be Father Abraham has many sons, and then they'll teach you that song and you'll be marching along with it. Nobody find out whether this child here has he given his life to Christ. Very important. Do you understand? Yeah, he said, they will tie them up. And the scripture didn't say whether it's adults that will be tied up or it will be it's children that will be tied up. Hell, like I keep saying, hell is hell. Heaven is heaven. We've read account of people who went to heaven and they said they saw children. Do you understand? We also read account of people who went to hell and they saw children. Do you understand? So why is that? When these things are explained, children are not factored in. And I think maybe because of our mind, even home, in our home, we are making decisions, nobody thinks about children. Yeah, nobody considers children. Or, I mean, has your father asked you what type of car he should buy?
No.
Are you not dead and the car will come?
Yes.
Have they discussed with you where you should stay in Accra? No. Whether, Dakuma is not, let's move to La Paz. You are there one day. Even sometimes you come back from school, they say, we have moved from here. They pick you from school and send you to the new house. It's serious. And so also, when it comes to matters of church, okay, so it's like, oh, more or less the children are non-existent. Hell, dear. And also, we feel that children don't die. But children die. Hey, children don't die. You see, when a child dies, it's a serious thing, though. Look, Bonnie, you want to say something? Yes. Yes, continue. I should continue what I'm saying. If children die, it's serious, though. The atmosphere is different compared to when adults die. When adults die, recently I went for a funeral. Even the people that their mother has died, they were not serious. I mean, they were chewing kebab. Even when I went there, I wasn't sad. Do you understand? Most adult funeral, I don't want to say, but adult funeral, everything is. But children, you can see that the atmosphere is different. Yeah, like a young life has been cut short. Do you see? And as you sit there, one of the things you have to ask yourself is, where is the person's soul going? Do you understand? You remember my church member I told you died on Christmas Day?
Yes.
So I went to the hospital. When I got there, I wanted to be sure. I mean, like they said, she died. But I wanted to be sure. So when I got there, I requested for stethoscope. Look, I put my hand. I said they should remove. I put my hand on her. I mean, like everything showed that she's dead. Do you understand? Yeah. So as I sat there, I was waiting for the next thing to be done. Then the father came. The father wasn't sad. The father said, "Are you not the pastor?" I said, "I'm the pastor." Do you understand? And the father said that, "Didn't you teach her about Christ?" I said, "I did." He said, "Then don't be sad. This is what the father told me." He said, "Don't be sad. If you say you taught her about Christ, then don't be sad." And I remember that the girl was in church a day before that, I think that particular year, 25th was a Saturday and 26th was a Sunday. Do you understand? So 25th, she was in church. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? So that's how it is. You need to know, young people, you need to know about heaven. And you also need to know about hell. There are no two ways about it. This is what you need to know. So this parable of the wheat and the wheat should ring a bell, should tell us something. Do you understand? Yeah, it should tell us something. I think the discussion has changed. The discussion has changed. It has changed. It has changed. But it's beautiful. All of us should try to become like wheat. Yeah, because there's a heaven to go. There's a place we must go. There's a place where we all die. Look, there's a place that actually we can go. Yeah. Yeah. And for me, I think that when the master said, let them alone. You see, when the guy said they were going to approach the wheat, he said, let them alone. I feel that it's a chance that the master wants to give them. Do you understand? Even though in the case of the wheat, the wheat cannot change to become wheat. But in our lives, we can change to become wheat. If you are a wheat today, you can change. You can listen to the word of God, accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and personal Savior, change from your bad ways and become a wheat. And so God is trying to be patient with us. Precious, what do you think?
Yes. So our teacher, Pastor Percy, has been saying something that death has no respect of anyone.
Mm.
Yes, green leaves are falling and brown leaves too are falling. Yeah. So what you have to do is that we have to live an exemplary life. Mm. As every day we have been going to church, they have been teaching us. You have to just listen. Yes.
It's true. It's true. Brown leaves fall. Green leaves equally fall. And I'm saying that, look, I have been to funeral of children before. Look, I've seen small caskets before. I've seen it several times. I mean, I've buried people. I'm the Reverend Minister who have arrived to pour sand on the person to bury the person. I've seen it before. I've been there to see. I tell them, open the casket. They open the casket. I've seen the person lying in. I say, close the casket. Bring the casket here. I preach. I say, carry it and let's go to the cemetery. I drove, follow. I say, put the casket inside the grave and say whatever. And then I say, cover it. So I've seen it from the beginning to the end. Do you understand? Uh-huh. Most of the time when children die, nobody makes noise about it. It's not really. But it's a very serious matter and it's very important. So I think that if you are home listening to us, I think God is trying to give us a chance. You have not given your life to Christ. Like you are living there as a young person. You can just take your phone, watch pornography, massage your penis. Disrespect your parents, cheat in exams, still very disrespectful. Nobody controls you. You church, you don't do anything. Just say, you are just there living your life. I think the master is telling you that, Charlie, I'm giving you some time. At a point, I'll say, come home. And then you come. If you are like that and you are listening to us, maybe this is how I have to end the show today. If you are like that and you are listening to us and you are not born again, I really think that we should give you this opportunity to invite Jesus Christ into your life. Bonnie, what do you think?
I think that's good.
Yes. You have to invite Jesus Christ into your life. Jesus needs you. I read somewhere that if you don't give your life to Christ, is it by age 11, the chances of giving your life to Christ in later years is about 21%. Yes. I mean, that's the statistics I read. Do you see? So for me, I am on the campaign to make sure that because if the devil wants to destroy anybody, me, I feel that it's children. As for adults, they've chopped their life finish. Oh, adults have chopped their life. If you see an adult who is a drunkard, what has he not heard? He has heard. If you see an adult, most adults don't change. Most adults, they don't change. Most of them. There are people who change. But most adults, they don't. And even when we attend funerals of adults, they don't tell us the truth. They don't tell us the truth. You see that? Tell, this man who have died, he's this, he's that, this. I attended a certain funeral at Atila. And the person who died, the church members were, she was this, she was that, she was this. They were saying nice things. Then the pastor came. I said, So adults, when adults die, look, I don't know why we don't say bad things about dead people. We always want to say even drunkard. If a drunkard died with the alcohol in the hand, crash, still we will say that, he was a good person. A mighty tree has fallen. Nobody can feel the vacuum. Now, drunkard that you have died, which vacuum have you created that nobody can feel? Do you see? But I feel that young people have a chance. You see, we have a chance. And if the devil wants to destroy anyone, it's children. So he always wants to sow bad seed in our hearts. Bad seed. While men slept. While men that slept are your parents who are sleeping, are your pastors who are sleeping, who are not taking good care of your spiritual lives. While men slept. That's why you can go to churches and you see that the children, they meet under trees while pastor slept. Yes. That's why your father wakes up. He doesn't care whether you have read your Bible or not. While daddy slept, the devil keeps sowing. See, meanwhile, they are interested in you learning Spanish. Now, you are at Dakuma. Spanish. I mean, they're interested in you learning that is, but when it comes to your spiritual life, that's why I'm saying that as you don't have a Bible, it doesn't do anything to your father. Yeah. Look, my son, he can read. He has a Bible. Every morning, he will take it and open. He said, Daddy, this is 26. I said, yes. So that's when the mother asked me that. Why that he can't read the Bible, but he will go for it. I say, allow him. He must wake up knowing that the first thing we should look for is a Bible. Yes. Do you understand? Before he learns how to read, he should know that when I brush my teeth, the next thing I'm looking for is a Bible. So he will take it. This is 7. I mean, he knows the numbers. This is 7. I say, yes. This is 8. I say, yes. He will flip through for a while. Then he closes it and go and put it down. So this guy, when he knows how to read, there's no problem. He's been taught that the first thing to look out for when you grow up or when you wake up is Bible. So I am campaigning that parents look for Bible. You have spot me. I don't know whether I've spoken since. Are you sure I've spoken since? I didn't allow you to talk plenty. Don't worry. I'll call you again to the studio. So if you are here listening to us, if you are listening, wherever you are in Trotro, you are in your father's car, wherever you are, your father is looking at your face. He's feeling uncomfortable because he has not bought Bible for you. You're also feeling very uncomfortable that you have a phone, but you don't have a Bible. When we say it, it looks like, oh, software is jealous of your phone. I mean, why would I be jealous of you? Do you know the phone I also use? Okay, so I think that you and your father, you should give your life to Christ right now. Yes. Plus your mother, who is looking outside the window. She should, or all of you there, don't put off there. Don't say they should change the thing to Peace FM. Please, bring the thing back and give your life to Christ now. I'm coming to say a prayer. Listen to the prayer and repeat after me. Say, Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
Please forgive me.
Please forgive me.
I'm a sinner.
I acknowledge I cannot save myself.
I believe in my heart. That you came to die for me. And I confess you with my mouth. Please wash me with your blood. In Jesus' name.
Write my name.
In the book of life. I want to be for you. I want to serve you. I want to follow you.
All
the days of my life.
All the days of my life.
In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
If you have said this prayer, you are born again. I'm telling you, as simple as that. Now you have to look for a good church to attend. Not all churches are. Some churches are banks. Some churches are entertainment centers. Look for a good church to attend. Look, I want to be your pastor. If you are in and around Bawi, I'm recommending Keep My Word Chapel International for you. My name is Reverend Ike, Reverend Doctor. When you come to the church, say you are looking for Reverend Ike, bring your children to my church. I'll pastor them for you. We are raising children who read Bible. But we are raising children who go for camps. We are raising children who love God. We are raising children who can do something in church. If you're also around Dakuma, Kodesh City Church. Please look for Dakuma Nyamiche.
Yes.
Nyamiche. Your pastor is a doctor. Your pastor is a doctor. Reverend Doctor Abwaji.
Yes.
He's a doctor.
Yes, he's a doctor.
I know him, yeah. He's my doctor friend. He's a pathologist in Kolebu. Yeah. Uh-huh. So please, I mean, if you have a pastor who is a doctor, yeah, that's a good pastor. Yes. We are not herbalists too. There are some Pastor, the doctor is a herbalist, but our oldest is a herbalist. So God bless you so much for joining. I believe I'll see you next week, God willing. God bless you. See you. Bye. Traction, I was true. My thoughts of you were few.